I'm Maria Dudzak, and joining me by phone, we have members of the Ketchikan Emergency Operations Center. Joining us are Abner Hoag, the incident commander, Mark Hilson, operations manager, and Trevor Shaw, procurement officer and Creekside Health staff member. Good morning, everyone. Lots of news in the last press release, but I think kind of the big thing, and we mentioned it earlier in our newscast, that there will be free drive-up COVID-19 testing May 12th, 13th, and 14th. So maybe let's start off with that. I'm not sure who would like to begin it, but explain what this drive-up testing is.
I'll start off, Maria. This is Abner. We've been working to try to increase testing here in Ketchikan since this started. You know, we activated the EOC at a level one activation. It's 9.5, almost 10 weeks ago, I think now, on the 3rd of March. We went to a level two or a full activation on the 16th of March, and so we're about 8 weeks into that. Early on, we had very minimal testing available here in Ketchikan, and so there were a lot of restrictions on who we could test and all of that, and even just the number of tests we had. But we've increased that to up over 1,600 tests available here in Ketchikan now, and we really want to increase our testing on the number of symptomatic people. So at this point, anyone with even the minor symptoms, and just one of them, no travel-related requirement or anything, we want you to get tested. Almost all of our local providers have that ability, and we decided to offer some drive-up testing. And I'll let Mark talk a little bit more and Trevor a little bit more about what that's going to actually look like.
Right. So we're going to do drive-up testing at berth 3. And as was mentioned, it's going to be at 10 a.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and go to 3 p.m. every day. You could turn in at the traffic signal and proceed around the Tongass Dock store. And we'll have two lanes set up to do screening and testing. And that's basically how we're going to do it. Maybe Trevor can talk a little bit about the specifics on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like Mark said, we'll be running from 10 to 3 the next 3 days, being tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And you don't even have to get out of your car. You just proceed to berth 3 and follow the traffic assigned cones where you're supposed to go. And from there, you just pull up, roll down your window, and we ask one household per vehicle, but anybody in that household is symptomatic to be tested. And roll down your window, and we get some verifying information in order to be able to give you test results once they come back from the lab. And you need a photo ID, from an issued photo ID. It can be from the government, from state of Alaska, any other state passport, just something to verify your identification. And just a quick 10-second swab in and out, make for every single provider there available to answer any questions that you may have, and then you can just keep on rolling. And so pretty quick, easy process, and we'll be screening there at the testing event itself, but also they can testing hotline. People can go missing hotline at 247 tests and get pre-screened ahead of time and have their information available right to go for the event itself. And so we're trying to make it as possible, and if anybody has any questions, they can call the testing hotline as well.
Okay, and you're breaking up a little there, Trevor, so let me kind of recap a little bit. They do ask that you drive up. Again, it's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., the 12th, 13th, or 14th at berth 3. You have this test done from your car, so you don't need to get out. Though, if someone needs to walk up, do call their hotline number 247-TEST, and you can arrange a time to walk in. They ask that you wear a mask or face covering. I need a current photo ID and one household per vehicle. So also, do you need to provide any medical insurance information?
By this time, you do not.
Okay, so these are free tests, and you you mentioned, Abner Hoag, that there are about 1,600 available. Is that your hope, that you'll get about 1,600 people coming out?
No, we don't. We expect we can probably put about 50, maybe a little bit more per day through the drive-up testing in the time frame that we have set aside.
Okay, and how has testing been going so far? Have people been coming forward? They get referred for a test? So how has it been happening, I guess, so far?
Well, so far, we've been talking with 11 different local providers, and I think we've captured all of them. We've talked to them several different times, at least every couple weeks, giving them updates on our testing supplies. Most of them are working with us to provide us information on what supplies they have. So when I talk about 1,600-plus tests in Ketchikan, that includes what our local medical providers have, Peace Health and KIC and all the little providers, Creekside and Northway and all the different ones. So it's not that we have 1,600 necessarily in the EOC, but working together with our providers, we've increased our supply. And early on, we had a couple hundred tests in town, so we're in a much better position now.
I have heard, now I myself have not had the test, but I have heard that it's a little uncomfortable. Can you kind of explain physically, and I guess this is a Trevor question, what will you do when someone comes up and what can they expect? And it is pretty quick, however.
It is pretty quick, and it's normally, you're normally done and over with in approximately less than 10 to 15 seconds if you... long, and where you have to go,
and I'm sorry, you're breaking up on me again. We may have lost him. I think we may have lost him.
May have lost Trevor.
We have lost Trevor. He might try back in again. Again, it's a nasal swab, correct?
It's a nasopharyngeal swab that they'll be doing. And I think what Trevor was saying is the test itself only takes a few seconds, 10, 15 seconds. They do a quick swab, and you're in and out. I haven't had it done. I can't imagine from the photos that I've seen that it's super comfortable, but
it's pretty
bad
quick,
either.
Yeah.
Thousands of people have had it done, and they've all survived, right? So, another thing I wanted to point out while I have the floor for a second, Maria, is I mentioned any symptoms, right? And early on, again, the symptoms we were looking at was very narrow thing. As we've learned more about COVID-19, that list of symptoms has expanded quite a bit. And they're finding that even some things that may not seem like they're even directly related might indicate COVID-19. So we're talking about the normal things, cough, difficulty breathing, diminished sense of taste and smell. But then in addition to that, we have things like chills, diarrhea, fatigue. We've always had fever on the list. Headache is on there, muscle and joint aches, nausea and vomiting, a rash even, runny nose and sore throat. And typically, it's preferred if, those are new onset symptoms. If I normally have a runny nose, that doesn't necessarily indicate anything. But each of us kind of know what's normal for us. So if you're having any of these symptoms and it's not your normal, then go ahead and get tested.
My normal is a lot of these symptoms, but so that also is like, let's say, for example, just using runny nose as an example, is it something that is persistent, or if you just have it for a brief period of time, would that count too?
Well, probably a little bit more persistent, but again, if it's a new symptom for you, we want to try to catch that.
Okay. Now, you said so the samples are collected, results are back in approximately 72 hours. So what happens if someone tests positive?
So if someone tests positive, they will be notified, public health will be notified by the provider, and they will also notify the person who was tested and give them all the instructions they need as far as how to self-isolate at that point. And then public health will contact you and do what they call a contact investigation to try to identify anyone else that you may have been in close personal contact with since you initially became symptomatic. And then they'll go through a series of questions with you, and they'll identify anyone else who that may be at risk, and they will ask them to be tested if they are at a high enough risk as well.
This also is a snapshot in time. It's whether or not the virus is active right at the time of the test, correct? So whether you, let's say you end up negative, you end up with a negative test, that won't tell you whether you had it or could contract it later.
Correct. It's going to tell you if you have enough virus load right now today to be detectable. Early on in symptoms and late in symptoms, oftentimes those tests can actually come back negative even though someone is positive for COVID-19.
So now let's do the other end. Like, let's say you end up testing negative. I imagine you still need to practice social isolation and taking precautions.
Right. So testing in general, whether it's this testing, the PCR testing that we'll be doing with these samples, or whether it's the antibody testing that we hear about on the news on a regular basis, one type tells you if you're sick now. The PCR, the antibody, tells you if you've had it in the past. But neither one of those tests tell you that you won't have it in 2 days from now, or that you can't get someone else sick. So until conditions change, we have to continue these new practices of social distancing, physical distancing, limiting contact with extra people as much as possible.
And at this point, we have 16 positive cases that were identified in Ketchikan. I understand all of those people are considered recovered. And in the last incident report, it says there are 15 pending results. When are those expected to be available?
It's to be honest, it's almost impossible for me to tell you when those will be available. It really depends on what lab they've gone to. So we have lab testing capacity in Ketchikan. KIC has a rapid test, one of the Abbott Labs ID Now machines. They can do those same day, but it requires a specific type of sample kit to be used, collection kit to be used for that, and it's more effective in certain cases. So there's this criteria that we follow for which test is collected typically. And then also Peace Health has an Abbott Labs ID Now machine in service, and they have another machine called a Quiagen, and that's a PCR test. The tests that we're talking about in this case and those pending ones are probably ones that have been sent to outside labs, because otherwise we would typically have them the same day. But when you send a test to an outside lab or the state public health laboratory, the turnaround once they receive the sample is usually 2 to 3 days as far as running the sample. Although with more and more tests being done, many of those places are doing what's called batching those samples, so they'll hold them until they can have, you know, 15 or 20 or whatever the number is that they can run simultaneously with one set of reagents in order to conserve those materials. Testing supplies, the collection kits are one thing that's been in high demand, but the other thing is what's called the reagent, or the chemicals that are used to run the test, and those have been in short supply as well. So you can run one test with a supply of chemicals, or you can run multiple tests simultaneously. And so many of these labs are trying to conserve those materials, and they're starting to batch those tests.
Okay, and so you... I'm sorry, continue.
Go ahead, Maria.
No, I was just saying, so you answered my question of these are not going to be processed locally. They will be sent to a lab.
And yes, and Trevor's back on. I'll let him talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sorry about that, Maria. So all of our samples currently go to Quest Labs, specifically in Seattle. And right now the turnaround time has been much quicker than in the initial days of when the test was first up and running in the labs. Not only Quest, but most labs were kind of at full capacity, and they've all been working diligently over the last eight weeks to be able to expand their capacity, to be able to run more tests. And so And one of the things that Abner mentioned about batching is another thing that some of these labs do, like Quest, they have a lot of different laboratory locations. And so what they'll do is if they can get them run at a different lab in a different city quicker based on demand, they actually will send those specimens off to labs in Oregon and California as well in order to get the turnaround back as quickly as possible.
And this is specifically looking for COVID-19, correct? If let's say you had influenza A, would that show up in this test, or is it specifically just looking for COVID-19?
Actually, to be a little bit more specific, you won't see influenza or RSV or another type of viral illness. And actually, it's not looking for COVID-19 itself. It's looking for, because COVID-19 is the actual infectious disease that is caused by the virus, but these tests are specifically looking for the virus known as SARS-CoV-2, which is the official designation of this strain of coronavirus. And as Abner mentioned, it specifically checks for a detectable viral load of SARS-CoV-2. And if the test is able to detect it, you have the virus, and that's how someone gets diagnosed with COVID-19.
Very interesting. So those are my questions about the drive-up COVID-19 testing. Again, if you have questions, you can call 247-TEST. If you want to walk in versus drive in, you need to schedule that by calling that number. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about the clinic itself? And then I have some questions about some other items. It sounds like we kind of got that info out there. I understand you're going to have, or maybe do have, hand sanitizer refill stations. Can you explain about that?
We can. Is Mark still on the line? Do you want to take this one, Mark?
I am. Yeah, sure. So we do have hand sanitizer refill stations stocked and up and ready. So if you bring your own hand sanitizer container, you can dispense basically through a small pump, a little hand pump, and a little one-gallon jug and fill up your own container. We have them at Saxman. We're going to have them at City Hall as soon as that opens to the public, as well as the White Cliff Building as soon as that opens to the public. We have them at Cape U Customer Service in the mall, and we have it at the Ketchikan Police Department. And I believe we're going to set one up outside of Fire Station 8, so the north end is covered. And then we're going to have them at Ports and Harbors as soon as that opens to the public.
And I imagine you don't have endless quantities, so people need to just take fill their one container or something. I imagine, is there a limit?
there's not a monitored limit, Maria, but we would ask that people, if you have a means to get it other than taking what we have, we recommend that you do that, because we know there's people that either don't have the means or aren't lucky enough to be at the store at the right time to get it. I'll let Mark continue on if he's got more to add, though.
Yeah, we have about 26 gallons available, and we have another 60 on order that should be here next week. And I would mention that this is, as I describe it, no-frills hand sanitizer. It doesn't have aloe or a moisturizer or a scent to it. It's not a gel, but it's a highly effective hand sanitizer. It will definitely get the job done. Stop by any one of those places. Police department's open 24 hours a day, so you could drive to that or walk to that and refill your own hand sanitizer. The key with hand sanitizer is that it's got a minimum percentage of alcohol. So the hand sanitizer that's been given out meets that criteria. There's a lot of different homemade recipes that people are using, and I would just encourage them to make sure that they're at least 60% alcohol. 70% would be better. When you use it, let it dry in your hands. Don't wipe it off, and that'll do an effective job at killing that virus.
And how...
And remember, if I can, real quick, on the hand sanitizer, remember, hand sanitizer is not a replacement for good hand washing with soap and water. The most effective means to deal with this virus is to wash your hands with soap and water. Hand sanitizer is a stopgap when you can't get to a hand washing station immediately.
Okay, and that was a question I was going to ask, isn't good old soap and water your first defense?
Absolutely.
It is.
Did anyone add anything beyond that?
Well, I would just say I keep a small container of it in my car. So, you know, if you're traveling, you're not necessarily going to be able to wash your hands. But as people get out, get moving more and more, keep it, you know, keep a little container of it in your car, and then you could use it until you get back to the sink and do a hand washing.
Also, I see in the update that there are facilities that are opening up or have already opened up. Can you speak a little bit about that and what people should do if, say, they are going to playgrounds or beaches or various facilities that are opening up? And they are not fully opening, but at least certain things now people can head out there and recreate a bit more.
Right. So this is Abner. You will see things start to open up more. We're into phase two. The number of people allowed in different locations has increased. The number of locations that are allowed to reopen has increased. We're going to do our best to continue to update the COVID-19 dashboard with hours, especially for public facilities. But as you go out to these locations, again, it's important that things get reopened, but we really need all of the community to continue to do many of the things that they've been doing that helped us, what seems like, stop the spread here in Ketchikan. So continuing to maintain distance between yourself and other people that are not part of your immediate household, washing your hands frequently, and wearing a face covering when you're out in public. Again, that face covering doesn't do a lot for you, but if everybody wears one, I'm wearing a mask to protect you, and you're wearing one to protect me. And that's just in case I happen to be one of those asymptomatic people who is a carrier of the virus, and I don't even know it.
Right, and it sounds as though there are, you know, many people who are carriers, but they are unaware of it. And also perhaps this drive-up testing clinic will help identify some people. Obviously, you have to have some symptoms in order to participate, but, you know, people who may have been ignoring minor symptoms may find out that they, in fact, are testing positive.
Correct.
Okay, those are my main questions. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
Trevor, anything else?
Yeah, so when I got cut off, we were talking about the specimen collection itself, getting the swab. And, you know, for most people, it's uncomfortable, but it's not painful. Like I was saying, you know, normally the only thing you have that far back up in your nose is air, and so it's sensitive. And, you know, people are like, oh, they said they cried when they got the test. Yeah, your eyes will water, but it's not really because of pain. It's because of more of the reaction of having something that far back up in your sinuses. And so, but overall, it's a very, very quick test, and all the folks who will be collecting the specimen are well trained, and it may be a little bit uncomfortable, but it's not something to be terrified of, and it's not specifically painful. It's just it's a sensitive area to get a swab collected. And so, but I would encourage everyone, if you're having a symptom, and like Abner said, even if it's the most minor new symptom that you may not even really be thinking about, take the time, look back, and say, huh, is this new? And if so, please feel free to come down and get a test done.
All right. Well, thank you for your time this morning, and we'll keep our eyes and ears open for updates on everything that is happening. Again, thank you to Abner Hoag, Mark Hilson and Trevor Shaw. They're members of the Ketchikan Emergency Operations Center. Again, coming up May 12th, 13th, and 14th, there will be free drive-up COVID-19 testing. And that is from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at berth 3. If you have any of the following symptoms, coughs, chills, difficulty breathing, diminished sense of taste or smell, diarrhea, fatigue, fever, headache, muscle or joint aches, nausea or vomiting, rash, runny nose or sore throat, you are invited to seek one of those tests. If you have questions, call 247-TEST. All right. Again, thank you so much for joining me.
Maria, can I just add one last thing? I just want to say thank you to Creekside and to the Ketchikan Public Health Center and their nurses over there for partnering with us on this operation. Without their help, we couldn't do this. So